Heavenly Father, thank you for a wonderful time of praise and worship. This little church is surrendered to you, Lord. We want to be used mighty for you. Heavenly Father, I'd ask that you anoint my lips to speak. Open ears to hear the urgency of the message, Lord. To understand what's happening in our lives individually and in this world. As you prepare the way for us, Lord. Holy Spirit, anoint me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Is this on? Can you hear me okay? Yeah? Okay. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. And the title of this message is Into the Pressure Cooker. Yeah. Uh-huh. This is something that I know the Lord has spoken. It's specific. This may turn into multiple messages too. I am surrendered to his will. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing." How do you respond when everything falls apart? It's 7 years ago this very day that my father gave his last breath. And for my family, that rocked our world. It changed our life with loss. A spiritual leader, a pillar to us in our faith that we looked to, was taken out of this world. And I still remember to this day, as I was walking around the hospital outside, knowing what was coming, the Lord saying, "Am I not enough? How am I going to do this? How am I going to pastor a church? I have no experience pastoring a church. How, with working a full-time job, how am I going to prepare every week? Yet for 7 years, my God has been faithful." Not easy. Thrown into a pressure cooker for sure. How do we respond when everything falls apart? Because it certainly seems that this world, we are seeing things come apart at the seams. Around the world, sickness, job loss, economic uncertainty, natural catastrophes, uncertainty for future. It's a time of great shaking that I shared last week. The Holy Spirit is so pointed. The Spirit speaks expressly to the church and to a lost and dying world, trying to wake people up. We are living in perilous times. And I know some of you are having a tough time in life. Yes. Many are right in the thick of it here in this church, feeling pressed on all sides. Think of those in this world whose hope is in this world. The hope of the leaders of this world. Like they're going to have a solution to fix the problem. Many are on a tightrope, just waiting for the next shoe to drop. Getting caught off guard. What's the next trial that's coming my way? God is not caught off guard on these things. He's not surprised on any matter. Or micro level, all the way down to you as an individual. He is in control. He knows the future. You may be experiencing a lack of hope right now. You may be wondering, what's next, Lord? I can't bear this much longer. I don't know how much longer I can hold on. There's so many examples of stories in this Bible of those who felt the same way. The biblical heroes, Job, we sang, blessed be the name of the Lord, lost it all other than his life, afflicted. Moses, Jonah, Jeremiah, even Elijah, after the mountaintop experience, coming unraveled. Yet God used him and still had purpose for him. If you're in the trial, you may think, hey, this is really intense. And it's not only the trials and tribulations in the world, it's also what's going on in the personal life. But you need to get a hold of this message because it's going to intensify, church. Things are not slowing down, things are speeding up. And it seems that most of us want to respond when we come to issues and trials, that we respond in similar ways. Our focus becomes all about changing the circumstances of the trouble that are bothering us, that they're troubling us. Even our prayer life gets so fixated on God. Can you just change the circumstances for me? Just fix it. Make my life pleasant. But while we think our efforts to change our circumstances will make our lives better, the truth is we end up more exhausted and we lose peace. It's worse than when we started. We're fretting and anxious. Instead of working so hard to change our circumstances, what we need is a change in perspective. A quote the other day I saw, defining wisdom in James 1:5 says, you ask the Lord of wisdom and he will give it to you. And the quote was, it's a change from a human perspective to God's perspective. That's wisdom. To have God's perspective on the trials, the difficult things in our lives would be to see through the lens of God, his design, his purpose, and the way. He's the way maker. God's word, contrary to what many pastors preach, God's word doesn't say that your life is going to be easy. But he does say that he will work everything for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Are you that child of God? Amen. If we could change that perspective where every negative situation that we feel in our life is a means for God to work good in us and through us, maybe we wouldn't focus so much on controlling the circumstances, holding it so tight to the vest, manipulating our circumstances to feel better. Perhaps we would begin to see our issues, our trials, our struggles as opportunities for God to do something transformational in our life. Metamorphosis. Renewing our mind daily. It's this change from a caterpillar to a butterfly. He's trying to transform us for his glory. I'm not angry. I'm just animated right now. The transformation that God wants us to do is to get beyond the surface level. You know, the issues that come our way, they're just on the surface level and they derail us. They throw us off focus. The little things. And the enemy is cunning and he loves to throw them up in our face. And even when our circumstances don't change, we can stand steadfast, trusting in our Lord. See, we expect God to remove the roadblocks for us because we want to stay on this path. And as Katie shared, he creates another path. He takes another way. It's called the refining process. Recently, Caitlin got this gift for Christmas. It was a rock tumbler. And inside it was a bag of rocks with this container. My wife is just annoyed at this thing because it's so loud. But what happened was we opened this package of rocks, and they're dirty. They're sandy, and they got rough edges. And we put them into this little container. It looks like a little pot. And we pour a little water in there, and it comes with a package of grit. And for 7 days, these rocks are tumbling, making this noise. And my wife's like, I can hear it all the way upstairs. But for a week, and we take it out, and we dump them out, and we rinse them off. And suddenly, these rocks, these edges, and the sand were kind of disappearing. And we started seeing these little patterns in the rocks. So we do phase two. We add more grit, more water for another 7 days. Knocking together, suddenly we rinse them off. All of a sudden, more of the color of these gems are coming out. And we're in phase three, and we've did it again. And now Caitlin and I are in this final stage of this. The last stage is the polishing. It's the last stage of grit, which is the polishing that's happening. That's a refining that's happening to those rocks that had hard edges and being polished into something. But for 7 days, they smash against each other until it starts over again and again and again. Do you get it? Do you understand what I'm saying? They transform these nasty rocks into beautiful gemstones and crystals, but they had to be refined. It's like the refining process of gold. There's steps. First, you got to find the gold. You got to dig for it. It's like where the Lord pulls us up out of the miry muck. You find that gold. And it's in the riverbeds and the deposits, and you got to look hard for it. And then the dirt and the sand gets washed away from it. Just as we've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. And there's often fool's gold, fake gold, tares. And what happens is when you test it, as the miners used to do, the pyrite, the fool's gold, would smash. It would just break apart. But real gold, what happens is it flattens and it expands. That's what happens. Because our faith is like gold. It expands when it gets pressed down. And guess what? When it gets pressed down, the owner of the gold's pressing leaves its mark. Like us. And then what happens is the crucible. After it's been flattened and you've taken this gold, now the time is the heating up. It's 1,000 degrees Celsius. And it gets the heat and the impurities come to the top and they get skimmed off. They skimmed off every situation, every severe trial. It gets skimmed off because he's creating something new. Because as it heats up, it's now able to be formed into something that a jeweler would want to make and create. There's a mold that's happening. But you got to do the crucible first. Glory to God. He's leading to creation of something new. But the refining process is hot, folks. Yeah. And the process continues and continues. And heat is applied and it's reapplied until the gold is pure. The refiner knows the gold is pure because he can see his reflection like the silversmith. And he's working that process in us. He applies heat and exposes our weaknesses, our faults, our struggles, our impurities. You know, those things that God is trying to get you to let go of and get out of your life. And heat is hot. It's uncomfortable. Maybe this message is uncomfortable. But if we submit to the heat, we are day by day transformed into his likeness. The process is not going to end, folks, until we see perfect face to face. Until we see Jesus face to face. And he will look at us and we will be in a glorified state as we're transformed. And he will see his reflection in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, we seek to place blame on someone or something when difficult issues arise in our life. It's all so-and-so's fault, or because of these events happened. And maybe it's like, oh, the devil's trying to get me on this one. It's very true. He does. He's like a prowling lion. We cannot negate that. But it might just be that the heat's being applied by the refiner of our souls. Heat full of purpose. Heat that will ultimately result in purity and joy. You see, illness, sickness may be designed to bring fear to the surface so God can build trust in you. Financial difficulty may rise materialism to the top, or a trust in your own resources. Ouch. Loneliness may raise idolatry to the surface. Relational struggles may raise bitterness and unforgiveness to the surface. It needs to be skimmed away. The heat and trials in our life is not that God has forsaken you. He's with us until the end, folks. It shows that he has great value in you. He's working something good inside you. His desire is for you to be all that you can be. And I know you're a Marine, so you may hate that one, but the quote of the Army, but to be all that you can be for his glory. Yes. Or Semper Fi, always faithful. How about that? Listen, when life gets hot, when life gets difficult, our flesh, our tendency is to run from the heat, is it not? When that molten substance is removed from the heat, guess what happens? It hardens. Our hearts, if we're not careful, can harden. Remember how Jonah ran away? He ran away from what God called him to do, and God had to get a hold of him. And he got a hold of him, all right, through a fish for 3 days to reorient his perspective, to reorient his focus. See, the heat is God's way of making us holy so we can share in the peaceful fruit of righteousness. That's God's way of doing things. Hebrews 12:11 says, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. Ouch, right? But it's painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. You're getting trained in the fire to yield peaceable fruit of righteousness, which is God's way. You see, last week I said mankind desires peace for themselves, peace and security, and apart from God, it will never be achieved. And peace does not mean peaceful circumstances. Peace is realizing God is in control at all times, in all facts and factions and pieces of our life. And even the difficult times have an important place as it fits into the bigger picture of God's plan for you and I. And it's in his perfect peace where we can find joy, and we can still even find rest for our souls. In the refining process, you have to be trained by it. That's what Scripture says. When you train, when you lift, when you work out, when you do those things, you train, you feel you get stronger, and you get stronger each time, do you not? If you're consistent and you're allowing yourself to be focused and you're working on it, what happens is you start building more strength. You start building muscles. You start losing some of that fat. That refining process is to give you the right perspective. Remember, it's God's perspective, and it's an eternal perspective. As God changes our perspective, you'll begin to see less of what is wrong and more of evidence of what God is doing in us as the refining work. As he brings the weaknesses to the surface, you will ultimately become stronger, more like him, more reflective of him, keeping your focus vertical, not on the circumstances. You understand? He's not looking to make you independent, and he's not looking to make you self-sufficient. He's wanting to make you holy and dependent upon him. Fit for the master's use and for his glory and for his perfect plan. So if you are in a trial right now, you may have some questions. You may not be able to see your way through it, right? You're in the thick of the woods. And it may seem like this is never going to end. I'm sure Job felt that way. I believe the actual time of it was 6 months, all that he experienced. And you say, hey, well, God, why are you letting me go through this? Why are you letting me go through this fire? And here's the why. God lets us go through the fire in order to prepare us for his plan and purpose in our life. We now come in a process of growth because God knows what he will do through our life. And God permits trials in order to produce a greater maturity and fruitfulness in us. Suffering is a necessary part of life, and it's God's megaphone, is what C.S. Lewis says, to arouse a lost and dying world. Jesus himself was the suffering servant, was he not? God wants to make you fruitful, not comfortable. Comfortable is not in the equation. We run the race until we see him face to face. Then you enter into your rest. Pick up your cross daily, deny self daily, right? That's not comfortable, is it? No, it's not. He's allowing trials to come your way to help you to move forward in his design. He's the creator, we're the creation. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And it's an eternal future because of the hope we have in the Lord. So part of the reason why is God's producing character in our life that is worth more than gold. It's a refining of our character, and it's a purification of faith. He wants us to fix our focus on him in the adversity. Take advantage of the opportunity to develop godly character. Let your faith be tested. Let your faith be stretched. Persevere and endure through tribulations. Embrace God's refining fire. Embrace it. And hold on to the truth that sets you and I free. Job 23:10, because you're going to come forth as gold. Job 23:10 says, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The trial comes because he's refining our character. He's purifying our faith. And this does not mean you're numb to the trial and you have no emotion. Like, ugh, okay. You know, no. Like, we're human beings, folks. We have emotions. And trials and tribulations hurt. I'm not saying it's not. It hurts. Our hearts are sad at times. And while believers grieve, they do not grieve as those who have no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. You have hope, and it's a blessed hope. Amen? Amen. Our response to the trials should separate us, distinguish us from the world. How is it, with all that you're going through, you're still standing? It's not me. It's Christ in me. Hallelujah. Wow, you're in a storm. That's because my foundation is the rock, Jesus, not on sand. Underneath the grief, underneath tears that you may have and you've had this past week, for some of you, you proclaim, we know that all things work together for the good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Listen, weeping may last for the night, but what comes in the morning? Joy, 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 joy. Biblical joy in times of trial. It's not optimism, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It comes out of you. How are you so joyful? Because God's refining me. It's a choice. It's a choice what you're going to yield to. Walk in the flesh, walk in the Spirit. It's a choice. It's a choice. Are you going to trust in God? Are you going to trust in his promises or not? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. It's easy to say, hey, I trust in God, but the key is when it comes down to it, when it gets hot, when that pressing happens, are you trusting or are you just saying just words? You trust in him because he's in control of all things, folks. He's in control. In Job, it talks about he orders the snow. Right? He's controlled the weather patterns. He has the events of the nation. Psalm 22, the kingdom is the Lord's and he rules over the nations. Acts 17:26, he has made one blood of every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. On the personal level, he's ordained all the days of our lives. Psalm 139:16, your eyes saw my substance being yet informed, and in your book they were all written, the days were fashioned for me. He looks at our heart and he considers all the works. Psalm 33. He even orders our steps. Psalm 37, 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. But it takes submission. The scripture says, let. It's a choice. Let. Let patience. You know what another word for patience is? Endurance. Let endurance have its perfect work. Let means you're submitting to God in the trial. And that doesn't mean like you're not praying for a removal. I mean, what did Paul say? Hey, I have this thorn in my side. Can you please remove it? And he asked how many times? Three times. My grace is sufficient for thee. So it's okay to ask, but be prepared to have the answer no. If your trial is like a loss of a job, it's okay. You're depending on the Lord, but it's okay to seek the job. It doesn't mean you're just going to sit back and be like, well, the Lord's going to prepare, open the door for me. No, we have action too that we need to be doing. But you need to be seeking. You need to be praying. You know, if you're sick, you go see a doctor, right? We don't shake our fists at God and be like, why are you doing this? That's what the earth dwellers are going to do. You realize that? When those bold judgments come out, woo, they will shake their fist at God. The key key is submission. That's what Job said. Look, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm still praising in the storm. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives and he takes away. We're heading into a time where a lot is going to be taken. Do you understand? Blessed be the name of the Lord. This earth is going to be shaken. It's happening. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God's goal in that trial is to make you perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Doesn't mean you're going to be glorified yet. Okay? That happens when he calls us up. Or we breathe our last breath. But it does mean you'll be spiritually mature, well-equipped for the purpose that God has created you. And the fruit of the Spirit will be evident in your daily life. That prepares you for eternity. So when trials come, it helps us to trust in the Lord, right? Trust in the Lord. Lean not our understanding. Acknowledge him in all our ways, and he will direct our path, because God is shaking things. And he's refining us for his purposes, and he is trying to let us let go of the things of this world and hold on to him. He's kneading us like the potter and the clay. And the plan sometimes doesn't make sense. Right? How is this happening, Lord? Why are you allowing these? I just don't see it. I don't see the purpose in this, Lord. Yet I'm going to trust in you. And suddenly that new pathway comes, right? Without Pharaoh's pursuit of Israel, you don't have the other path that takes you to the Red Sea. And they didn't know what was going to happen, but there's going to be this miraculous deliverance where the sea opens, they pass through, and then he uses the sea to consume the army. You think they knew that ahead of time? They certainly did not. They had to walk one step at a time. Without Lazarus' death, you don't have this, I am the resurrection and the life, Martha and Mary. That to the glory of God, a future of what was Jesus was going to do himself. These events that we see in the Bible build up our faith, right? We've spent a long time in Hebrews 11 to build up our faith for the moments in which we're living in. He wants to show us and use us in ways that you cannot even imagine for today, for this time, the appointed time which he has made. Psalm 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Isn't that interesting? Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. See, because I trusted in him, I am helped. And what results is a song. A song comes out from you, from your inner man. A song that just comes out that's, why are you still singing while you're being in the fire? Because my God is greater than my circumstances. Because beyond the Red Sea, through the wilderness, there's the Jordan. And on the other side of the Jordan is the promised land. And it takes a lot of muck to get through all that. Right? But there's a promised land. His promises are yes and amen for his child. And he loves you with an unfailing love. So consider it all joy when you fall into various trials. Endurance have its perfect work. Let patience have its perfect work, and you'll be found perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for your word. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I know things were revealed to us as your word was being preached. Things to our hearts came to the surface that dross that you are allowing. You revealed and said, yep, that fire's coming, son, daughter. You now see what I'm trying to remove out of your life. That we may be humble and submit to that, Lord. That you would work through us. A heavier glory for you, Lord. An eternal weight of glory. Nothing this world can offer. Give us the opportunity to share you this week. Even in the midst of the storms, what is this hope that you have? My hope is in Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen and amen. You're dismissed.